Today's a special day. Today's a special day because it is Palm Sunday. This is one of the things that I call this is also Distraction Sunday. Because if you are in the big room and you get that palm frond, you're not paying attention. You're just watching that thing wiggle. You're trying to get your friend in the ear. Exactly. You're trying to like some of us who are a little bit more focused, we like turn it into a cross, which that's great. Thumbs up to that one. Good job, Erica. But it's sometimes known as Distraction Sunday. Because as a child and even till today, like when I have that in my hands, I just can't focus. Like my ADHD kicks in overdrive. And as I'm focusing on my palm frond, somebody else is focusing on theirs and trying to get it in my ear so that it itches me. But it's Palm Sunday. In middle school, they're doing a thing today. It's called Party Like It's Palm Sunday. And today is a celebration. Today's a celebration where we're gonna look into God's word, and we're gonna look not just at today, but we're gonna look at the next week. Since we don't collectively get to spend Easter together, I want to spend some time just grazing over what the next week looks like. And so today, I want to ask you a question, and I want us to focus. Today's message is called "The Day That You Met Jesus." The day that you met Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gift that you gave us in your son, that we get to celebrate, Father, that we get to understand the reality of our sin and what your son did for us, the love that we can experience in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, God, we're grateful for that. As we engage your word, Father, this morning, I pray that your spirit would engage us and that we would engage your spirit. And we, Father, would walk from here knowing the true gift that you've given us in your son, the greatest gift that we could ever, ever ask for, the gift that we needed but that we didn't deserve. And so, God, we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew if you have them. If not, it'll be up on the screen. But Matthew chapter 21. Go ahead and flip open to Matthew 21. It's going to be on the screen. I'll read it out loud. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Matthew 21. Verses 1 through 11. The title of this section is The Triumphal Entry. And so this is when Jesus is making his way. This is today. This is what we celebrate today as Palm Sunday in Matthew chapter 21. And so this is what it says. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill that what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" And so my question for you today is, do you remember the day that you met Jesus? Do you remember that first time where you encountered Jesus, and it was something just, maybe it was something that you had heard before, or maybe it was something that had been explained to you, but there's a day for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus where we can look back and we go, that is the day that I met who Jesus really is. The forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus? You know, as we look at this scripture and what comes after it, we understand the importance of what it looks like to meet Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, to say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm giving you my life because you can do far more with it than I ever could. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not worthy of your grace, but you have given it to me freely, and I'm grateful for that." We receive the free gift of salvation. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus? My hope for you is if If you're walking in a relationship with Jesus, you can look back and you say, that was one of the greatest days of my life. To this point, I hope you can say, that was the greatest day of my life because I experienced truth and hope that I've never experienced before. And that's what these people, as Jesus is coming into the city, that's what these people, they're experiencing Jesus for the first time. They're excited. And they're overjoyed, and they're laying down their cloaks, and they're laying down palm fronds. They're not distracted with them. They're fully focused on Jesus, and they're excited. And I think some of us, we find ourselves in these positions where we have a relationship with Jesus, but we forget that day that we met him. We forget the excitement. We forget the reality of understanding who he is and what he has done for us. I think sometimes we can be so excited and we can live in that moment, but life starts to go on and we just continue to walk down and through life and we get caught up with all of the daily mess and we forget the way that we felt on the day that we met Jesus. And then there's small moments that happen. For some of you, maybe it's something that you read in God's word and you go, man, that is a great reminder of who Jesus is. I was just reminded of how I felt when I met Jesus, and that joy, that excitement, that gratitude wells up inside of you. Maybe for some of you, it was an experience. Maybe you had an experience at a camp or at a concert or at a conference that you go, oh my goodness, I have just been reminded of who Jesus is, and I now remember the way that I felt when I met Jesus, the excitement that I felt. The passion, the like, man, I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus. But regardless of where we're at, we have these highs and lows where we have those moments, but then life gets going and we get caught up in the routine of it and we start to forget. Maybe our devotion hasn't been as consistent lately. Maybe our connection with Jesus is just not where it was. Maybe this is the first time you've been here in a couple weeks and you just kind of been dragging along. Maybe you don't know, maybe you're forgetting what it felt like on the day that you met Jesus. And so my hope is that today and as this week goes on, we can remember what that looks like. Maybe there's some of you in here today that go, you know what, Ryan, I've never actually met Jesus. I'm not quite sure up to this point. I don't know that I was ready for a relationship with him. And maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you go, Ryan, I don't know what that feels like because I've never actually met Jesus. I've heard a lot about him, but I don't know that I'm ready to surrender my life to him, to follow what he's calling me to do, because it's hard and the world looks like a lot of fun. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. Those two statements are incredibly true. It is hard to follow Jesus, and the world does look like a lot of fun. But here's what I can promise you, is those of us who are in a relationship with Jesus, we know, we've experienced that. We remember the day that we met Jesus, and we can reflect on that, and we can see it, and we start to go, you know what? It's hard, but it's worth it. And the world looks fun, but what I know is if I'm going after the world, I'm just chasing fleeting pleasures that don't actually give me lasting anything other than regrets. And so my hope is as we look at this today and as we look at what happens throughout these eight chapters that leads to the resurrection of Jesus, as Matthew finishes out his gospel, it's my hope that over the next week, how great is it that this Sunday we look ahead for the next 8 days. There's eight chapters leading into the next week of Jesus's ministry, the wrap-up of Jesus's earthly ministry. And so what I want to do is I want to take some time to graze over this really fast, to go through it. And then I want to challenge you guys this week, reflect on these eight chapters. How cool is it? But if you read one now and every day till next Sunday, that's eight. It's perfect. You just got to read a chapter a day. And so I want to challenge you this week to relive the joy, the excitement, and just the overwhelming feeling that you felt on the day that you met Jesus. And so chapter 21, it's that, Jesus entering in. And then from chapter 21 through 26, what we see is Jesus goes into Jerusalem and he teaches. And here's the thing. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there's this thing called the Last Lecture Series. It's a series of talks. Essentially what it is that it asks professors and people who are important and people who speak well. They said, hey, if you could only say one more thing, if you could only teach one more lesson, what would you teach? Okay, go teach that. Go share that with people. This is what I believe Jesus's last lecture series, these last couple of chapters. It's where he really looks at the world and it helps to begin to unpack Jesus's last teachings as he heads to the cross. And so chapters 22 through 26, Jesus spends this time teaching, kind of his last things that he wants people to know. A lot of it is around the area of, hey, a lot of people don't realize who I am. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this opportunity to know who I am pass you by. He also spends some time talking about what it looks like for us to be believers, to bear fruit, to not be fakes. You know, there's this part where Jesus talks about he sees a fig tree. In the fig tree, it looks like all the other fig trees, but as Jesus walks up to it, he inspects it and he realizes there's just leaves, there's no fruit. And so he curses it and it withers and dies. And what he's saying is, hey, don't be a fake follower of me. Don't look like the real thing. But when it comes time to bear fruit, don't allow yourself to have nothing. And so he goes about teaching these different things. And as he's teaching, it brings us up to chapter 26. And in chapter 26, this is what Jesus is doing. We see that there's a plot to kill Jesus. The authorities say, hey, this guy is not good, and so we need to get rid of him. And so in chapter 26, verse 17, that's where Jesus has the Passover meal, this celebration that the Jewish people have together. If you were in big service, Mike explained that a lot. And I know I say it a lot, but here's the thing. If you're a junior in a senior room, you need at 9 o'clock every Sunday, you need to be in that big room. You need to be in there. You need to hear what Mike has to say because he is teaching incredible things. And here's the thing. It may stretch your mind. It might be difficult to understand, but in 2 short years for the juniors, that's going to be your environment. So you need to be engaging with that. And Mike is just unbelievable. I mean, I'm probably one of the least intelligent people in the room, and sometimes I can grab nuggets. So I encourage you to go do that as well. I encourage you, hey, if you are a junior or a senior, you need to get into the big room every single week. Every single week at 9 o'clock. If you're a sophomore or a freshman, you're in there, but bonus. Okay? Get in there. What Mike is teaching is so important. And what he's teaching has practical application in our lives. So I encourage you to be in that. And so Mike talked about that Passover, why it was so important to the Jewish people. If you're like, man, Ryan, why was it so important? Hey, check out the podcast, okay? And next week, be there at 9. So that's what Jesus is doing in verse 17. And then in verse 26, we see Jesus institute the Lord's Supper, communion that we take together. So Jesus is preparing. He knows what's coming for him in the cross. And then at 36, 10 verses later, Jesus knows what's coming. And so he goes to the garden to pray. And he prays all night. He prays all night. He says, Father, if there is any other way, please remove it from me. Please remove this cup from me. But if it is your will, if this is what your will is, then I will drink this cup and I will drink it to the last drop. And so Jesus says, I don't want to go through this, but I know, Father, that if it's your will, I will. I will execute obedience. And then 26 goes on. In verse 47, Jesus is arrested. This mob comes and they take him. Peter hacks off the ear of some dude in his frustration, and Jesus heals the man. And so they take him into custody. And then Jesus in 57 is before the council and they're starting to make their accusations against him. And then in verse 69, the guy who says, hey, I'm with you till the end, Jesus, Peter, he denies Jesus, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And one is in front of a middle school girl. A grown man sees a middle school girl and says, Jesus knew you, right? And he goes, no, I don't know who that is. He had 3 times. And Jesus had prophesied this. He said, this is to come. You will deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And so that tells us that was a full night of event. Jesus is praying in the garden late at night. They come and take him away. And so it's all night. And then we find ourselves in chapter 27. Chapter 27, this is Good Friday. This is what Good Friday is. This is why we celebrate Good Friday. This is why you need to be here this Friday at noon or at 7 for Good Friday services so that we can understand what happened when Jesus gave his life up for us. And so 27:1, Jesus is delivered to this guy named Pilate, who essentially is the one who gets to make the decision if Jesus lives or dies. And so he has this interaction, and Pilate kind of sees that he's like, I don't know really why they want to do these things to you. I find no guilt in you. But he gives them this offer between Jesus and this man named Barabbas, who was a thug. He was a murderer, a drug dealer, not then, but probably would be now. You know, I don't know how many drugs happen in Jesus' day. I don't think very many. But there you got this guy, Barabbas, and Pilate says, you know what? You pick. You can have the thug, murderer, drug dealer, child molester, this guy, or you can have Jesus, who I found nothing wrong with. Who do you want me to set free? The people cry for Barabbas. They say, give us Barabbas. And so we look back. We look back to the beginning. When Jesus comes in, this is probably a different group of people who want Jesus killed than those who received him when he came into the city. But here's the crazy thing. They were chanting Hosanna when Jesus came in. And Hosanna literally means save us. Save us. And so even in this moment, Jesus finds himself being selected to be killed versus this thug, this Barabbas guy. And even in that moment, he has the opportunity to save this guy. So it continues on, and verse 24, Pilate orders the crucifixion of Jesus. He orders it, and so we're making our way there. Verse 32, Jesus is being crucified. He finds himself being crucified. He has to carry his cross up the hill. His hands are nailed to the wood. His feet are nailed. And he finds himself on this cross, taking on the sin of the world. The things that we have done, we place on Jesus. And we see this is Good Friday. And I was looking and I go, you know what? It just doesn't make sense to me. Why do we call it Good Friday? As I look at the accounts of this day, there is nothing good that I see happen. The beating of Jesus, the nailing of his hands and feet, the piercing of his side, the whips that he received, the carrying of the cross, there is nothing good about this day. And so I'm looking and I go, what is so good about Good Friday? Well, it comes because Jesus ends up, after a period of 3 hours of darkness, Jesus, it says, he surrenders his spirit and he dies. And so we find, like, the darkness, the terror, the lack of hope, it is real and it is there. And so what is good? The good of Good Friday is the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, for the person beside you, and for myself. So that's what Good Friday is. And so I want us to come together on Friday and I want us to celebrate that. Right? How can we celebrate the death? We don't celebrate necessarily the death. We celebrate the symbolic nature of Jesus' sacrifice because we know what is to come. And so in verse 45, we see that Jesus dies, and in verse 57, he's buried. And everybody heads into hiding. Those who followed him, they said, they're coming after us now. We don't know what to do. And so they go into hiding and they wait for 3 days. And then, 3 days later, chapter 28, it's the climax, it's the best part. Spoiler alert, he comes back. For you and for me, when we go to him and we say, hey, Jesus, you are enough. Thank you. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus? Let's use this week as an opportunity to be reminded of what it felt like to meet Jesus. Let's read through the scriptures and be reintroduced to Jesus in a new way. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus? Man, it's a big day, because here's what I know. Some of the ladies, they go to the tomb and they find Jesus. His body isn't there. And we find that there's this woman named Mary Magdalene, and when she interacts with Jesus, she doesn't know who he is at first. She doesn't know. She's like, sir. She thinks it's a gardener. She says, sir, do you know where they've taken the body? And Jesus speaks to her. And in that moment, her eyes have deceived her, but her ears have not. She heard the voice of our shepherd. I love it. In the Gospels, it says, my sheep will know me, and they will know me by the sound of my voice. And when she hears that, she says, Rabboni, which means my rabbi, which means my Jesus. And in that moment, she knows who Jesus really is. She had believed maybe some of it, but at that moment, she met who Jesus really was. And this continues to go on. And so this is what we have the opportunity to celebrate. Let's not downplay our sin and the fact that Jesus had to go to the cross. Let's reflect on that this week and on Friday, but let's celebrate it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to celebrate it today. We don't get to spend time together collectively next week. And so let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the day that we met Jesus. And for some of us, it may have been last week. For some of us, it may have been 10 years ago. But do you remember? Guys, do you remember the day that you met Jesus? I don't think we always think of this. Let's let this week be a reminder to us. Let's be reminded of who Jesus is. Let's look into his word. Let's read the truth that exists in there. Because it's exciting. This is what, I mean, I'm so jacked for next week. It's not just because we get to get dressed up nice and my daughter's gonna be wearing a beautiful dress. My son's gonna be looking good when he leaves the house, but the time he gets here, he's gonna be all messed up. It's not just about that. It's not about suit jackets and ties and fancy shoes and the ham that we get to eat. Maybe you're a turkey person, I don't know what it is. No, we get to celebrate the day that we met Jesus from his word. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus? It's an exciting day. It's the day that because of what Jesus did, you stepped from death into life. The truth that exists in the person of Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity. You may have already taken up on that opportunity to experience it. So this week, don't let spring break. I imagine a lot of you are on spring break. Don't get so caught up in the joy of sleeping in late or playing video games way too late or like getting to go with your friends and hang out with them all day long. Enjoy that, do that. But here's the thing, don't let this week go by where you don't look at who Jesus is. Don't let it pass you by where you don't reflect on the day that you met Jesus. Because the cool thing about it is as we go along, we can say that's the day that I met Jesus. But as we walk along with him, we can find that we say, hey, there's a day I learned something new about Jesus. Here's a day I understood how great Jesus' love is for me in a new way. Maybe it's a song that you hear on the radio. Maybe it's a piece of scripture. Maybe it's a conversation that you have with another believer. Maybe it's a conversation that you have with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You want to have a great opportunity to relive the day that you met Jesus? Introduce somebody else to him and watch that in their minds. This past summer when we went to camp together, two of our students gave their life to Jesus and there were tears everywhere because those are the things that remind us of what it was like when we met Jesus. It helps us understand who Jesus really is. Because we can get caught up in just saying, hey, Jesus is the guy who forgives my sins. We can get caught up in that from time to time. I do it all the time. But there's times where we need to step back. This week's a great opportunity to step back and remember the way you felt. The joy that you experience as you reflect on the day that you met Jesus. So guys, don't forget it. Use this week strategically. Read through 21 through 28. Chapter a day. Here's what I can almost guarantee you. You're going to run into something that you go, man, I never quite saw it that way. Because maybe the last time you read it, You were a sophomore, or you were a freshman, or you were a junior, or you were in seventh grade. But now with new life experiences and greater understanding of the world and just where we're at, you might go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. I never saw that before. That's the beauty of God's word. It is living. It is living, and it shows us the truth. It helps us see things that we haven't seen before based on where we've come and how the journey has brought us to that point. So dive in this week. don't forget and relive the feelings, the emotion, and the reality of the day that you met Jesus. Let's pray. Hey, God, I thank you. Man, it's amazing. Just your love for us. The things that your son went through for us on our behalf. Man, God, we are grateful. God, I pray that your spirit would fill us. I pray that your spirit would bring up memories that we haven't thought of in years that allow us to reflect on your son. God, help us. Help us to celebrate this. Father, fill us with your spirit so that we are full of joy and we can celebrate big. We can celebrate with those who are in you, and we can celebrate those who you are calling, and we can experience the joy of your son. Father, give us moments this week. Help us to take time away, whether it's minutes or hours, to reflect on you, to reflect on the feeling that we had when we experienced your Holy Spirit pierce our souls for the first time, and when we met your son. God, we thank you. God, I thank you. God, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate big the victory that your son has won, that he beat death, and we get to join him in that victory. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for that victory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, you guys can stand with us in worship.